address you today again. I'm feeling much, much better than yesterday, but still we need to be cautionary. So I will address you from here. Please join me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine. Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Today we will continue our series of seminars called The Magic of Sadhana. For those of you who were not with us or who might appreciate a refresher, I will once again say why sadhana has a magic or unfolds a magic, provided it is properly done. It's almost yes, when you strike a match towards the side of the matchbox, if you do it properly and the match is not wet, and the side where this little, you know, this paper is, which can ignite fire on the match, or which can make a strong ripping effect or rubbing effect, then fire is going to come. But you must really take care that the right circumstances are there. Therefore, in traditional initiation movements, we always hear not just about a process, but we hear about what needs to be done so that the process works. This is naturally or traditionally confirmed by the guru to his disciple. And in our movement, it is either done by the guru or by senior devotees who preach to us and who give us shiksha or important instructions. But the point is, we do not just have to understand the process, we must understand how we can apply it. Then it unfolds the magic of the match in our analogy. So today we want to discuss Bhagavat Shravan. This is listening to the Bhagavatam. I would like to talk about its necessity. I would like to say, what is the Bhagavatam? And I will want to also give you some suggestions how to read and relish the Bhagavatam. I'm just seeing. I'm remembering Shiti Shakti, who said, when you have a video call and you are there, on whom are you looking? And he said, you're mostly looking on yourself. So I want to avoid this today. But I just saw that the seeker needs some improvement here. Good. First of all, my dear devotees, please know that reading the Bhagavatam is one of the foundational practices of those who want to come to Krishna consciousness. The reason being that all our processes work only when there is Sambandha Gyan, when you know who you are, when you know who God is, and when you know what is your relationship to this world. The Sambandha Gyan forms the fundament of devotional practice, and knowledge is found in the Bhagavatam. There are many Vaishnava scriptures, but they all refer and draw inspirations from the Bhagavatam. For instance, the many works and Goswami literatures about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, you can see they follow very, very closely the Bhagavatam, because it is understood that the Bhagavatam is a representative form of Krishna in this world. The Sanskrit which Jiva Goswami uses for this is Pratinidhi Rupa. You find in those temples in Vrindavan where the deities have been removed from the original temple to other temples because of security reasons. You know, there were the Muslims who were really very, very antagonistic to deity worship and to Vaishnavism in general. So the deities had to be removed from Vrindavan and so on. But in their stead, representative forms were installed, and it was and is understood that these Pratinidhi Rupas, or representative forms of Krishna, are having the same inborn Shakti as the original deities themselves. This is very important for us to understand that, so that we will be able to interact with the Bhagavatam in appropriate ways. It is a representation of Krishna. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam where this is explained in a very nice way. Krishna svadamo pagate dharma gyanadi bisaha kalo nashta trishamesha puranako tunodita. This Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by dharma, knowledge, etc. So the Bhagavad Purana is like a second son. If Krishna is the first son, when Krishna, this Krishna son departed to his own abode, Krishna left and went to the his original home, a second son, that is the Bhagavatam, arose. And it brought with him, within its womb, you can say, dharma and jnana and other such virtues. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali, that's us, shall get light from this Purana. The Acharyas describe that when Krishna was just on his way out, Kali, who had been outside of the earth atmosphere waiting for its chance, was becoming very, very interesting. He was standing there, was very, very much, eager to enter with full force the planet Earth. But Kali was afraid of Krishna. So Krishna was leaving and he looked, and there was Kali ready to enter. And he felt great compassion for the people of the planet Earth and expanded from his own form the Bhagavatam, the knowledge of the Bhagavatam. And this knowledge was later captured by his other literary incarnation form, this Vyasadeva, and was brought for the people of this earth, to the planet Earth, so that we get light from the second form, this Pratinidhi Rupa. Yes, by listening to Krishna as a form, the Bhagavatam, something very important happens. This is expressed also in the words of the Bhagavatam. Ishvara satyo hrityavarutyate trakritibi shushubis tat kshanat. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of the Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within the heart. So just see the beauty of this. Krishna manifested the Pratinidhi Rupa and the representative form. And if we approach this form of the Bhagavatam in an attentive way and submissively here, second is submissively, then that form comes from outside right into our heart and we become blessed in many, many ways. I have made this experience many times now so that I'm not shy to speak about it. Yesterday was a day which was difficult for me physically. I was feeling the strong influence of sickness and headaches and everything. When I chanted my rounds, I thought, oh, what will help now? In addition to this, I want to speak tomorrow about the magic of listening to Bhagavatam. Maybe I let me look in the Bhagavatam. So I have a wonderful copy of the second canto with me. It was published by the Soho Temple. Really a very beautiful publication. And I read in the Bhagavatam in the section of that if we don't hear about Krishna, our ears are like holes in which snakes come and reside there. And I was reading all this, and then I read a little bit in other sections of the second canto, and all of a sudden, because I was in a submissive state, I was quite surrendered, I know this is my chance. All of a sudden, my dear devotees, I felt really that all what was burdening me fell away from me, because Krishna had come in his representative form from outside into my heart, and then I was very, very, very satisfied. You have to, however, chant attentively and submissively. We will hear about this a little later. Now I will only touch upon this. Prabhupada was a great devotee of the Bhagavatam. As we know, he worked practically every day on the translation of the Bhagavatam. Every day of his life, even when he traveled, he would rise very early in the morning and read the Bhagavatam. I remember I was once massaging Srila Prabhupada in Germany, and he was not satisfied by the amount of pressure which I put into my massage. I was going up his back like this, but apparently my hands were too soft, or there was not enough pressure. So Prabhupada called upon me and said, "Harder, harder, harder." You know, and I tried harder. I tried to still do harder and very hard. Then Prabhupada, in a kind of, "Oh, it's hopeless, he is too soft," he asked me, "What do you do for service?" And then I said, "Prabhupada, I'm translating your books from English into German." And when I said this, Prabhupada's whole demeanor changed. He had been quite unsatisfied with my soft massage. He liked a very hard massage. But now he was very interested. He said, how many pages you do a day?" Because he was a translator, and he had now met another translator, and he was talking like one colleague would talk to another colleague. Maybe there's a colleague on working on programming, and he meets another programming colleague, and then they will ask about the secrets, or then they will talk about their secrets and how they do their programming of computers. So Prabhupada, in much the same way, became almost collegial. I mean, I know that I'm never on the same level as my spiritual master, that goes beyond without saying it. But I noticed he was immediately very friendly, very interested. We spoke a lot about translation. I mean, a lot is maybe not the right word. Prabhupada was, what these practical matters concerned, quite concise, but we gave it some length of time to talk about this. And yeah, so Prabhupada was a great admirer or worshipper of the Bhagavatam, and he worked hard to instill this on us. He made it a regular practice that we read each morning the Bhagavatam. And once in Mayapur, a problem started. Devotees left in the midst of his class, and Prabhupada stopped his class and asked, "Why are they going? They are busy in some other work than the Bhagavatam? Eh? Ugrakama." Ugrakama means terrible work. "Without hearing what he will do, nonsense. Shravanam Kirtanam, this is our main business. Shravanam, if you don't hear, what will you do? You will do simply sense gratification. That's all. If we are not interested in hearing and speaking, gradually all will be stopped. Unless there is the life of Shravanam Kirtanam, these big buildings, these temples, will become a burden. So we must be very much alert in our Shravanam Kirtanam. Otherwise, all this labor will be futile. This building will be only a nest for the doves and the pigeons. That is the danger." So you can see, Prabhupada thought hearing the Bhagavatam is the life force of his movement. It's the life which goes on in the temples. It's the life that is energizing everything. Otherwise, everything will be futile. Prabhupada made this observation. When you take to Bhagavatam, regular Bhagavatam reading, and I really want to put my emphasis on this word regular, you will see a shift in your life and a shift in the atmosphere where you are. The Padma Purana speaks about this. It says, every place where there's daily Bhagavatam Katha, or the recitation of the Bhagavatam, becomes a holy place. All Tirthas come there. The residents are blessed with good fortune. All the sinful reactions are completely and finally destroyed. Wow! The idea is to do it regular. When we speak of reading the Bhagavatam properly, or relishing the Bhagavatam properly, we don't speak of an on and off process. We speak of a regular process, a regular chanting of the Bhagavatam is required. There are, in fact, three R's. I'm speaking like Sutapa. Three R's which need to be known if you want to read the Bhagavatam. And I urge those who take notes to now take notes, as I will give you the process from the Bhagavatam itself. how to extract the nectar of the Bhagavata. You must know there is in all these spiritual processes there is nectar, but it is sometimes hidden for us, to us, or hidden away from us. The nectar is sometimes not directly visible for us. For instance, in chanting, sometimes it may be hard to complete our 16 rounds because we don't taste any nectar. It's a hard effort and endeavor. And when we hear about instructions of how we should do these devotional processes, all these instructions are really meant to make it easier for us by helping us to relish the taste. I have given the example, and I think some of you will remember this, that when you have sugar cane stalks that grow on a field, you have to know how to extract the sweetness from the stalks. And the way it is done, one way it is done, is you bring them between two cylinders which revolve like this and press the juice out of the stalks. Without this, you will not be able to taste the sweetness in the sugar cane. In the same way, the Bhagavatam, or the chanting of the holy name, needs to be brought to the right process so that you can extract the nectar out of it. And only then will you be able to do everything with taste. And only when you have taste will you be able to maintain your practice even in the face of external difficulties. With taste it is very difficult, very easy, I wanted to say. And without taste it's difficult. Some of my kind caretakers have said, is it really good if you do classes, you are a little bit indisposed? And I said, well, for a real preacher, preaching is not something that he does out of duty. It is something which he does out of taste. And when he relishes the taste of sharing Krishna consciousness, that gives him strength. I think you remember Jayapataka Maharaj. Jayapataka Maharaj is severely handicapped by a stroke, and the results or the effects carry really into every minute of his day. Nothing is normal for him. Nothing is easy for him. But he still continues to preach. And others have suggested to him, no, you better stop. You are now not in fit, Maharaj, take some rest. But for him, preaching is what gives life. Because he has tasted something. So when you have the taste in reading the Bhagavatam, that's the point. It will never be a duress. It will never be too much. You will naturally gravitate to reading the Bhagavatam and to relishing it. So let me now bring to you the three R's, which are like the cylinders that extract the nectar from the Bhagavatam. First of all, you must do it regularly. This is the third time where I mentioned this verse, this word, regularly. The Padma Purana says, if you are serious to attain the highest perfection, then you should daily recite at least one verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you can't do that, recite at least half a verse. The idea is, somehow or other, quantity is not the real measuring point in this sadhana, but regularity is the point which you must keep in mind. Let not a day pass where at least you have looked at the Bhagavatam and skimmed over one verse or so. Because if you let that go, then some problems come. I want to give you an example of medicine. These medicines are to be taken regularly because they give a certain saturation in the blood that drives the illness out of your body. So if you skip one pill, it is not so good. You will lower the saturation in the blood, and then you have to start from scratch again to build up that saturation and let it and continue experiencing the benefits. So in the same way, my dear devotees, reading regularly the Bhagavatam creates a certain saturation or pervasiveness of the Bhagavad subject matters in our consciousness. And only when the Bhagavatam pervades your thoughts will you be able to make the right decisions in your life. And only when you make the right decisions in your life will you do the proper activities in your life. And only when you do the proper activities in your life will you get the experiences in your life that make your life spiritual. Yeah? So everything starts in the thoughts, and I'm repeating this from an earlier session. The Bhagavatam helps to pervade our thoughts with Krishna conscious ideas, so that when time comes to make decisions, either the small decisions or even the hard decisions, we will be able to reach back into our consciousness and bring one of the ideas of the Bhagavatam to the forefront of our awareness, and then we can act properly. Yeah, this is the first R. You need to do it regular. The second R is you should do it with rapt attention. I hope I say it properly in English. Rapt attention. What this means is that you are really in a receptive mood, that you are able to take something in. Only when you are attentive you know, are you able to really take a new idea in its completeness into your thought system and internalize it? This rapt attention is important, and in order to reach to the level of rapt attention, you might have to, how do I say this? Make a few changes in your life. Yes, I'm serious. To pay rapt attention to the contents of the Bhagavatam is only possible when your mind is pure. When you do, however, impure actions like eating food which is not pure, when you are not pure in your sexual conduct, I'm speaking of those who are in the married ashram, and you know, when you are not pure there, and you are, you may not only do a sexual activity in physical exertion. You can also have illicit sex. Now comes a difficult word. I don't know if I get it. Vicariously, no? Is it vicariously? Where you just watch it, you know, like when there is a movie and you see the movie and all of a sudden the clothes go down, you know, the better is you close your eyes and your ears so that you will not be subtly enjoying the activity by watching it. That's, by the way, very uncultured, to watch other people do something. That is so uncultured, that is almost perverse. But in our civilization, that has become totally acceptable. That's how they sell their movies. And so, but really, it is the sport of perverse people. Anyways, Hare Krishna. So
you must be watching a little bit your activities. They should be pure, so that your mind, which is where the senses always feed in from all directions, no? Your mind remains pure, because only a pure mind can give rapt attention to the pure subjects of the Bhagavatam. Otherwise, it is not possible. It is not good. It is not possible to have rapt attention. The last R, I have to laugh because I like Sutapa Prabhu's presentation so much, so I'm learning to imitate a little bit. It's real faith. You have to have faith when you read the Bhagavatam. When you reject it just because it's so extraordinary, it will not go inside. I remember Bhurijan Prabhu tells this. There was once Prabhupada gave a lecture about these huge birds which fly from planet to planet. And while they are flying in the atmosphere, they lay an egg, and the egg falls down, and due to the friction of the egg and the atmosphere, the eggs hatch and other little birds come out and also fly through the atmosphere. Now, for those who are born on planet Earth, this really looks, what is this? What am I supposed to believe in, just in the literal sense of the term? So one devotee, after Prabhupada had lectured about this, said, Prabhupada, how can it be, you know, how can birds fly between these thin atmospheres, lay their eggs, and the eggs fall and somehow hatch, and then the little baby birds fly? Prabhupada, what is this? I think they have not asked Prabhupada with such gestures, but the spirit was a spirit of doubt. So Prabhupada spoke back. He said, what do you know? You are still in the womb of your mother. Someone who is in the womb of the mother can obviously not see many things. He only sees the inside of the womb, not the details of his environment and so on. So yes, in a way we are all conditioned by our senses. There are many, many things even on planet Earth which go on that our senses have no access to. We have no idea what to make out of them. And yes, so we should be willing to acknowledge other realities and be happy that we are not able to make sense of everything. So real faith is important. So let us go again through the three R's. I can't see you on this screen, so I cannot ask you also. Or let me say, Gaur Krishna is trying to make something. Want to see you. Yes, now I can see you. So let me see. There are more and more joiners who are not in the crowd. My God, this is a pleasure to see you. What were the three R's, please, of reading the Bhagavatam? Please say. Oh, yes, I heard you. I heard you. Thank you very much. Regularly rapt attention and real faith. But there is another advice that is given for those who want to really relish the Bhagavatam, and that is to hear the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees and discuss the Bhagavatam. I want to ask you a question. Say there is a pond with lotus flowers. Where will you go in order to get the honey from the lotus flowers? It's a difficult question. Will you go to the lotus flowers themselves? I think most of you are city persons and they do not know. You cannot, as a human being, extract honey from a flower. Who can extract honey from a flower? Bees, yes. So if you want to have lotus honey, you will go to the closest nearby beehive and you will go there and take it from the bees. So in the same way it is when you want to want to relish the Bhagavatam, it is good if you hear from devotees who bring out the certain qualities or the rasa, the nectar, the honey of the Bhagavatam. Therefore, we want to listen to realized Bhagavatam speakers because we hope in their good association that we are able to relish the Bhagavatam 100%. This is a very important point. So there are not three R's, there are really four ways. The three R's are there, real faith, rapt attention and regular, but you should do so in the bar with devotees. You should. Now internet gives us so much ability to listen to various lectures of interest, which will be very good. So I'm almost done. I would like to now give you a little insight of a typical Bhagavatam reading session for best result. Those of you who take notes, this is a good time to take notes, but of course not all of us are so interested in philosophy, so what to do. But so before reading the Bhagavatam, do the following. Tune your consciousness so that it is receptive. Prabhupada gave us a mantra which we should chant, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Even when you read on your own, you should chant this mantra because it makes your consciousness receptive to receive the subject of the Bhagavatam. You can also chant Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam, this shloka, O Nashta Prayeshu Apadreshu Nityam Bhagavatam Sevaya. This, do it because it's a sadhana, it's a spiritual practice. It's not like a book that you ordinarily read. No, this Bhagavatam is like a book that is a representative form of Krishna. The next point is make it a regular daily practice. What do you think, Radhika Ranjan? Could you even think of doing this? No, I'm serious. I could ask anyone of you, but I see Radhika Ranjan. Could we even conceive of reading regularly the Bhagavatam? What to speak of doing it? This is a good question. My dear devotees, we have to do this we speak now about reality, no? We speak about spiritual practice. Spiritual practice is never just how you appear. It's not about your front, it's not your nice face, it's what you actually do. You have to be really integral for this. Why can't we conceive of reading daily the Bhagavatam? Or what would we have to do to conceive of doing it. I think all of you should make an inventory and think, what is it that stops me becoming a sincere sadhaka? No? What is it? I think the interest in Krishna consciousness is there, but what is it in me that stops me? I think we must first address this question, and then we must see if we have good excuses to not do our practice. My dear devotees, I think no one can do this for us. It will not help if I tell you with many good Shastric arguments why you should read regularly the Bhagavatam. It is you who have to find out what stops me in doing this, and you will have to find out what could I possibly do to overcome these problems. Then the next is, so do it regular. Now what you need to do is you need to find a peaceful place. Somehow or other you can work with your mobile telephones and the various apps on the mobile telephones and the various messengers, even in crowded places. At least I have seen people on airports. Everyone is on his mobile telephone and reads messages and answers messages. But the Bhagavatam initially is you need to find a peaceful place. And the reason is that the subjects of the Bhagavatam are not rajasic, nor are they tamasic. The subjects of the Bhagavatam are pure sattva, vishuddha sattva. And therefore, when there is distraction, and we are already a little distracted by nature, we will not have the full benefit of reading the Bhagavatam. We must find an undisturbed place. It's in an undisturbed time. It is also not good if you read Bhagavatam and at the same time you are available on your mobile telephone. Because once you are taken out of the subject of Bhagavatam, it's not so easy to come back to it. So find a peaceful place, collect your thoughts and arrive in the present moment. Yes, I'm reading now the Bhagavatam. Let go of your worries and of your let go of your worries and your anxieties. Be open to receive something entirely new. One moment, I will just take a little sip. Be really open to receive something entirely new in your life. As you read, stop from time to time and ask yourself the question, what is the message here? Without this, you will not be able to dive deeper into the Bhagavatam. You will only be on the level of shallow hearing and and you won't be able to memorize anything, to keep it in your mind. And finally, I would like to say, when you read bring your attention also to your heart space and ask the question, in what way does this apply to me? In what way is this relevant and important for me? These two questions, what's the message here, and in what way does this apply to me, is important. The last thing is, when you find something which you would like to do in the Bhagavata, you need to actually pray to Krishna that he reveals more of this to you, that so that you can be, that you are able to follow on the inspiration that you have obtained from reading the Bhagavata. So these four points are described in the Upanishads. One is called Shravanam, where you just read regularly. The other, when you ask the question, what's the message here, is called Manana, reflecting on the subject. When you ask, how can this, is this relevant for me, it's called Nididhyasana, or apply it. And when you pray for revelation, it is called Vandana. These are very, very good steps that bring you to a full realization of what is Bhagavatam, and help that the message of the Bhagavatam is revealing itself to you, and that you become pervaded with the content of the Bhagavatam. Good. My dear devotees, I have come to the end of my presentation. I was very happy to address you today. I'm very grateful that you have attended this lecture, and I wish you all the best for your upcoming for the upcoming day. I think we have some interesting presentations today, which are still, so to say, coming to us. But for now, I want to see if you have any questions regarding what you have heard. Hare Krishna, Hare Bo.
So, Guru Maharaj, just turning to the Vaishnavi side first, see if there's any questions there.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you for your wonderful class. My question was, I know in Srimad Prabhupada's letters, he talks about the importance of reading Bhagavad Gita every day as well, and how that we should, even once we've read it, we should continue reading it every day. So my question was, like, if we could only, you know, read either Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, and we had to choose, which one would you recommend? And yeah, just how do you reconcile the two?
Mm-hmm. Are you reading every day in the Bhagavad Gita?
I mean, I try to read like some scripture every day, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good, good. Sorry, I just needed to know for. In the Bhagavatam itself, it is said, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, we should do it very regularly. And also in the second canto, where we find an instruction about the three R's, you know, there is also said that we should read the Bhagavatam regularly. This, of course, does not, you know, I feel myself in a difficult situation here. This, of course, does not exclude the Bhagavatam. I don't think they are in rivalry, which is, sorry, this does not exclude the Bhagavad Gita, I wanted to say. The Bhagavad Gita is usually described to be a scripture which you read in the beginning. Then you read the Bhagavatam and you stay with the Bhagavatam. And then you can read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But the Bhagavatam is really the one scripture where you want to arrive at and stay with. That's very important. Now, on your way to do this, you should definitely have a knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. What I do is I read every day in the Bhagavatam. I had now a little interruption where I only read every second day because I read every day in another Vaishnava scripture. But I have seen you need to touch the Bhagavatam every day. I need to do it for sure. So, then I give, of course, many, many lectures on the Gita, and I read the Gita for that purpose also. But I'm a sannyasi. It means I have this luxury position to just read and study and prepare for lectures. That's a very great privilege. I consider it very, very a gift of God, so to say. So for you, I definitely would say, when you are ready, I don't know, how long are you in Krishna consciousness, if I may ask?
A couple of years,
yeah. You should come to the Bhagavatam and read it regularly. And then in the evening time, you can read before you go to bed a little in the Bhagavad Gita or so on. But the ideal is really that you come to the Bhagavatam. It's really, yes, Prabhupada has said also the Bhagavad Gita, and that's at times Prabhupada had said you only need one book, that's the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada has also advised his preachers that if you want to preach, just preach from the Bhagavad Gita, that is good enough. That is also there, but there are such an overwhelming evidence that daily reading in the Bhagavatam is almost compulsory, that we have to go by these overwhelming evidence. See, but the problem is, most of us, we just read something, sometimes something, Vaishnava book here or there. If we are honest, we are more regular with looking at TV or movies or social media. Our questions lack substance because we are not willing to act on the answer. And that is a problem which we have to address individually. We have to see individually what keeps me in doing what I secretly know is the best? What keeps me from doing what I understand to be of the greatest value? What keeps me from which demon? Not demon. I'm telling it a little bit dramatic, but what is it that acts almost as a brake inside of me so that I can't go to my goal? And we need to address this, really, my dear devotees. Otherwise, this magic of sadhana seminar will be another seminar which you listen to, but which you forget. Remember, two days ago, Chittisaki gave us such a good presentation on what social media does for you. And one was, it gives you an instant reward. You feel immediately rewarded. Like yesterday, I heard, listen to this, that I'm invited to contribute in a podcast, which is one of the most popular podcasts nowadays. It is seen in China primarily, or listened to in China, but it's now worldwide, and it has, what was it, 1 billion? 100 million viewers. And I immediately felt, wow, now you're a valuable preacher. You're coming. You know, it was like an immediate reward. And then, because I had listened to Chittisaki's, do I say the name properly? What? Chittisaki. Yeah. You are in a very good spirit. That is nice to see. I'm trying. But please help in a helpless man. I do not. Our Mataji, who was explaining everything. What?
It's Chittisaki.
Chittisaki, yes, I know. But everyone laughs. No? I don't get it. But anyways, this our Mataji has explained everything so nicely for us to understand everything in detail. And yes, I questioned this validation from outside. I think Gokrishna wrote the name down, but I will not try to say it again, otherwise I make another mistake. So I have questioned that instant gratification. Am I really more? Is my life now more valuable? And I think I should give my place to Ghanasyam Priya. He knows much better how to talk about this in good language and in proper concepts and so on. I was really thinking about this invitation which came to me and how I felt afterwards. And you know, so there are so many things in the which we do which give us instant rewards, like talking with someone, and the person will maybe, if our discussion is good, they will support us, encourage us, even be grateful to us, and so on. And in the Bhagavatam, we do not always feel such instant reward, although I think when we read the Bhagavatam properly, then there is a lot of reward. In other words, in answer to your question, should we read the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita? When I asked you, are you daily reading the Bhagavad Gita? And you answered, no, Maharaj, I'm trying to read, you know how it means from a mouth of Indian origin, when they say I'm trying, it means I'm not reading every day. When you gave your answer, I would answer you, whatever it is, become regular first, and from there we can work further with us. Let us understand, Prabhus, and my dear Pandava Senas, Krishna consciousness starts to work at that time when you sincerely apply it and practice it. It's not enough to believe in it, that this is good. You have to apply it on a basis. And I think for some of us, and I'm in the same category. It's not that I'm speaking this in any condescending way or I know better, like this kind of attitude. In every one of us, we must address that little voice of resistance that does not wish to do things on a regular basis in Krishna consciousness, because we feel we get a more generous reward when we can speak to 1 million, what is it, 100 million or 100 million people in a podcast, and we feel, wow, good, now I'm valuable. No, we have to address this. What is wrong in my relationship with Krishna? What went wrong in my relationship to Krishna? So that I do not really practice Krishna consciousness. I only believe in it. Please, Madhaji, this was a strong answer, I know. I hope you will become angry at me, but I feel this needs to be said, and sorry, you asked such an innocent question and I answered with this point to your question. Don't take it personally, I was addressing everyone.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kushi. Now we have a question from Shyam Govinda Prabhu.
Shyam Govinda.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Let me see you, Shyam Govinda. Where is Shyam Govinda? Please raise your hand. Oh, yeah. Good. Please. Yes, I see.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. One of the things that I find is we tend to encourage and present preliminary scriptures and Bhagavad Gita, but there's a reluctance sometimes to encourage others to study and read Srimad Bhagavatam, because sometimes we have reluctance towards it because of some of the controversies that we come across. So can you give some guidance and advice on how we can navigate that and encourage more people to study Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yeah. I would say, Siam Govinda, everything starts with us. When you are convinced of something, it just emanates from you. And people in your association or those whom you influence in some ways, let's say like this, they automatically take to it. So convince yourself first, and then others will definitely follow. I get my enthusiasm About Bhagavatam reading from the first canto, first chapter, verse number 2, where it says, Ishvara Satyo Redyavarutyate Tratkritibi Shush Shubis Tachanat. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the Srimad Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within the heart. I personally started to read the Bhagavatam when I was very young, maybe, when I was 18, I became serious about reading the Bhagavatam, and I read every day at least 3 verses. That is my minimum, and I have kept it up with interruptions, unfortunately, but by and large, I have kept it up till this age when I'm 50 years in Krishna consciousness. And yes, sometimes devotees are not sure how long I'm in Krishna consciousness. And there's I celebrated today with, not today, this year, at the beginning of the year, my 50th year in Krishna consciousness. It was for me a great we were only a few because of the restrictions, and in Germany we are not as free as you are in England with these restrictions. So we were only a few. And but it was for me a very personal thing, a very personal very moving event, that half of my life, if I'm 100, my plan is to become 108 years, if possible. That's not in my hands, that's in Krishna's hands. And so 50 years is a good number. And my dear devotees, I must tell you, I asked myself, what has kept me so long in Krishna consciousness? And I remembered these early hours of the day when I'm reading the Bhagavatam with a great concentration. And I thought it is because of this that I stayed in Krishna consciousness, because there were so many controversy. You Pandavasenas have not seen any real controversies. You know what we older devotees see, what is kept secret from the public eye. It's really a lot. You know, we are living in the material world, and there are, yes, Maya doesn't stop before the temple doors. She is a great devotee. She can enter in the temple as well and overwhelm those who are not firm in Krishna consciousness. Anyways, so, but I always knew Krishna consciousness is what Parikshit Maharaj experienced. Krishna consciousness is what, like yesterday in this beautiful play where we were seeing Parikshit Maharaj. I wanted to really thank Vrinda Kishori for this play. I was able to see it from here. Was not as good as being alive alive with you, but it was something. So this, what Parikshit experienced, what Shukadev experienced, what Lord Shiva praised in the Rudra Gita,
what the prayers of Lord Brahma to Krishna are. You know, these things have kept my head over the water, because I always knew, yes, human beings make mistakes and we should forgive them this. We ourselves make sometimes mistakes. But what the Bhagavatam describes is beyond the human ups and downs, and that is where Krishna consciousness is. So but again, my dear devotee Govinda, Govinda was your last name, please first convince yourself, have a time with you, have a peaceful talk with you, in an undisturbed place, where you ask yourself, what keeps me from reading the Bhagavatam regularly? I think Sutapa Prabhu brought forth a few excuses and defeated these excuses. No? Sometimes you think lack of time keeps me from reading the Bhagavatam. But you could read bit by bit. You don't need to. Sometimes we see all the Bhagavatam, there's so many copies of our, or so many cantos, 12 cantos. How will I ever do this? But if you read every day a little, boo, you will be relatively fast through everything. Or you think, I'm a simple man. I come from a working class background. How can I be expected to read such high intellect, high literature? Then Prabhupada has explained it for all groups of people. Prabhupada has made it so accessible. Plus, there are nowadays such good overview literature where you can read the Bhagavatam. So it all comes down to us being convinced. And by the way, the general populace, it's good if we give them the Bhagavad Gita first, because the Bhagavad Gita needs to be read first by people who come in contact with Krishna consciousness. It's the first serious book which they get, and Bhagavatam is a little bit the postgraduate study. No? The Gita is the fundamental, the first study of Krishna consciousness. So that's all right. But we speak now about to you as practicing devotees. You are no longer the man from the street. You are our own person. Hare Krishna.
Final question is,
don't become influenced by me. But Shitty Shakti, yes. Why do I?
Yes. You have my name right.
Shitty Shakti, yes.
Maharaj, thank you so much. Such a wonderful class. So my question is in relation to preaching, so and memorizing verses. So most of the people I preach to, they're of non-Indian origin, and they aren't familiar with any kind of Indian Eastern language at all. They're very British culture. So English is the main medium. So I have focused predominantly on learning, memorizing verses, understanding based in English. But I'm feeling quite a big push that there's an importance to memorizing verses in Sanskrit, even if it's not going to be utilized in Sanskrit for preaching. And I wanted to get your guidance. How important is it to memorize verses in Sanskrit?
Yes. Srila Prabhupada was once very interestingly addressing this point. He said, although we may not understand the language of the thunder, we understand in another way that now rain is coming, and that it, that it will be a stormy day. So that is because the thunder carries in it a certain potency that makes itself understood beyond language. There is no, the thunder doesn't say to you, I'm here coming, I'm announcing the clouds and the rain, but you know by its power, and it's so powerful, the voice of the thunder, that animals react to it. Everyone knows what is coming when you hear the thunder. So in this, in just the same way as thunder carries an inherent message, the Sanskrit carries an inherent message. It is the language of the gods. It is from another dimension, and once we hear it and chant it, it was, we are somehow associating with that world, and we are lifted to this world. Imagine these verses of the Bhagavatam and also the Gita were spoken either by Krishna or his very, very advanced devotees. So yes, it is a great, great assistance for us to hear the thunder of the Bhagavatam and to memorize it. Also, I found out in preaching or communicating to others, if you give the reference, even if it's only one line of the verse which you are quoting to them, they feel, oh, this person knows the books of her origin, or the books of from where she takes all the knowledge. She really knows them, and this gives them a lot of faith, a lot of inspiration. Just imagine you meet a Buddhist, a good practicing Buddhist, and they tell you a Dharma Sutra, a short verse in English, and then also in, I think, Pali. And then you feel very inspired. Well, he really knows what this saying, and I'm here, and I found someone who's really expert in it. Let me listen to him more carefully. So this is a little bit what I would like to say. For you personally, it is good to recite them in Sanskrit. I also, when I read the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada taught us like this. He said we should always chant in Sanskrit. He used to say, I've written these books for you, for your reading, and you should read everything. I've given even the word by word. Word by word I not always do, because time is there and so on. But sometimes when I'm reading in Sanskrit and I'm reading the translation, I'm interested, what do the words say? It is naturally coming, and then I go to the word by word as it is required. So it has a personal benefit, but I would say even for preaching it has a benefit. Good. I thank you very much. I hope this is all right. And by the way, I know your good name, Chitti Shakti. I'm Gokrishna wrote it down, and then I will not make the mistake again.
Shakti Manjiji would like to thank you for your answer. And also, it was not purposeful, it was...
can I say one thing?
Maharaj also, we weren't laughing at you, everybody was just laughing at me, so please don't feel embarrassed.
We
love you so much.
No, I know. Also, now I can, the lecture is finished, I will say something personal. You know, when you go through life with people, and you somehow value the people, then a very sweet relationship can develop. And although I may not know each one of you from so many discussions, I mean, I see you and I give lectures and I try to answer questions, but I know you are in Pandavasena and I like to come to visit you and associate with you over a few years now. I don't know how many years, but I'm looking. Gokrishna points 10 years, about 10 years. We know each other. We are in one little department in ISKCON where we try to serve and associate. And so many good things have happened with Pandavasena. The last is, I mean, just imagine, we started schools which run very successfully. I forgot how many, maybe 7 schools by now. Then we have this, I mean, Om Noam is so wonderful. Although we all know maybe the greatest victims in terms of business places of this pandemic are the restaurants. So it is struggling, but it is going on, and there is great determination to make it work. And we have now this huge plan for the Branston Hall, this place where we are. So we are one group, we are serving Krishna as a contingent, one department. And that brings some closeness. And when you laugh, I know it's good humor. I know that you are not, I mean, that would be also so rude to invite someone and then to laugh at him. I mean, English people are known to be super polite, so I know that you wouldn't. That is not even a point we don't even need to consider. Fine, but I, Chitti Shakti, I so much enjoyed your social. Wisely using, not be used by the social media. That was very, very helpful and very relevant, because many of the young people now use the social media a lot. And it's very nicely presented. Good. Fine, so I think we will end here. I thank you all very much. I wish you a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. I wish, obviously, that no one of you will be infected. Yes, we will be together on this journey through Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
So thank you very much, Maharaj.